Congress is 1 week into its longest work session of the year. Members will be on the Hill, at least on and off, for the next 8 weeks, and the partisan divide may melt away in five key areas. David Hawkins, the senior editor at Roll Call, hosts the Hawkins Here blog and writing about those five key areas on his blog. David, run through those with us and explain how this thing that everybody outside Washington seems to think is impossible is actually possible, that people can get along and get things done.
Well, yeah, right. It's possible at the margins, right? I mean, I am not, none of the things that I'm talking about is going to make a national newspaper headline. I am talking about things that they've been working on at the margins for a long time and that may exceed expectations. The one that is probably of most interest to your listeners is the appropriations calendar. You and I have been talking about this all year. I continue to be relatively optimistic that Congress is going to make better progress on the appropriations calendar than they normally do. I definitely was overly naive at the start of the year in thinking they might match a record that they haven't matched in 20 years and get all 12 of their bills done by October 1st. That's not going to happen. But they may get a few bills done by October 1st. Even that would be progress. That hasn't happened, you know, but once in a blue moon in the modern Congress. So I think that's probably the most important of the bunch. Beyond that, I think that there's still a chance for Congress to revamp its role in federal housing finance, the so-called Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac issue. Senators are close to a deal on how to keep the federal backstop for mortgages. But in a way that sort of reins in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So that's a possibility. There's the so-called, the sexy sounding but kind of mind-bogglingly complex matter of patent trolls. patent trolls are these companies that actually buy up patents for the sole purpose of suing people for infringing on the patents. Congress may figure out a way to crack down on that. And then, there's the tax extenders bill, which is, you know, Congress usually every year or two extends most non-controversial or minimally controversial tax breaks. They're on the cusp of doing that. And then there's, in the next week, I think there's going to be a vote on a bill that actually puts Republicans and Democrats together on energy efficiency. The word energy and bipartisanship, a rare thing, but they might get something done unless the thing is so popular that it draws killer amendments, like an amendment by the Republican David Vitter of Louisiana in the Senate to take away the federal subsidies for congressional aides' health insurance.
Which has so much to do with energy efficiency.
Right, and those rules don't apply. The normal rules of sanity don't apply in the Senate, and you can try and attach any old amendment to any old bill, and especially when it's politically dicey like this, it's going to be tough to vote against it, even though the two sponsors of this energy efficiency bill, Democrat Shaheen from New Hampshire, Republican Portman from Ohio, thought that they had an ironclad 60-vote majority lined up to ward off all these kind of amendments that now it may be not so sure. And there are some Republicans who might not want to give Gene Shaheen, the Democrat from New Hampshire, a victory because since this bill first started gaining some legs, she's gained a tough re-election challenge from Scott Brown, the former senator from Massachusetts.
You have said the most intelligent thing on this program today just a moment ago, David. Normal rules of sanity don't apply in the Senate. You win In Depth with Francis Rose for the day today. So congratulations
on that. All my friends in the Senate will hate me or love me. I don't know. You know, it's the truth, I think.
That's exactly right. I mean,
it's a little bit like going to the theater, the willful suspension of disbelief.
That's
right?
Exactly right. The spending bill issue is interesting to me because for a long time, you're not the only one who has believed that it was possible to get all 12 bills done. I certainly would call you many things. Naive's not one of them.
Well,
optimistic, I think, is one of them. But that was not an optimism that was unique to you. A lot of people for a long time believed it was possible. That optimism is starting to fade, and you write about that on your blog. But there are still many reasons, I think, to be optimistic that some progress can be made. And it, maybe in hindsight, it was a little little bit of a too hopeful a jump for us to figure that the Congress could go from complete budget chaos to complete budget order in the course of, what, four to six months?
Exactly. Now, right. And when we first started talking about this, I'm not sure we knew what the election year calendar for Congress was going to be. As you said at the top of this segment, Congress, while they're in now, this is the second of nine straight weeks in a row that they're going to be one or the other or both will be in Washington. After that, there are only a few short meetings between now and the election. There's essentially 4 weeks in July and then a couple of weeks in September and maybe a week in October, and then that's it until the election. So even though the appropriators got an earlier start than ever, they got, of course, their macro bottom line marching order at the end of last year, the $1,014 billion top line for all federal discretionary spending. And even though they've started moving bills through the House earlier than ever in the 40-year history of current budget law, there's just not going to be enough time to get these things done between now and the election. The House looks like it has the capability to get all 12 of these bills done by July 4th. The Senate, Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, the chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee, has been promised something unusual in the Senate, in the modern Senate, which is a long stretch of time in June and July to do nothing but consider appropriations bills. The Senate hasn't even passed but a couple of standalone appropriations bills in the last several years, so they're going to get somewhere.
You mentioned that in your column, 2 weeks of floor time in June and two more in July, and that sounds like a tremendous amount of time for them to get the work done that they need to get done to get those bills through.
It's a decent amount of time. It is also the case that, for the reasons we were just joking about, these appropriations bill, any bill in the Senate that is considered, that's got legs, that's got bipartisan support, or that has a sort of a must-pass aura about it, becomes a magnet for all manner of well-intentioned policy changes to the advocates, or killer poison pills to their critics. And so a lot of that time will have to be spent negotiating to minimize the number of poison pill politically motivated amendments.
I guess if I read between the lines, David Hawkins, the senior editor of Roll Call, if I read between the lines about what you're writing here and think about it from the perspective of somebody sitting inside a federal agency as a leader, what I take away from this that's positive is there appears to be zero appetite, or maybe less, to go through anything near like what we've gone through the last several years, which is 36 million CRs that last for 3 to 6 days or maybe a little longer, and coming close to the edge of the shutdown cliff again. It doesn't sound like anybody thought that was a good idea.
No, right, exactly true. Remembering that the start of the fiscal year is, I think, five weeks to the day before Election Day.
Yes.
The Republicans have, once burned, twice burned, three times burned. They're not going to be burned again by any kind of zeal to shut down the government. They have agreed on this total amount of spending. The Democrats have agreed on this total amount of spending. If politics is playing into this in any way, it will be that the more it looks like the Republicans could win control of the Senate in November, the more those same Republicans who are already in the Senate will slow walk the appropriations process, insist on a CR that starts in October and lasts until the lame duck session, then will come back after the lame duck session and slow walk it again and say, well, we're taking over the Senate in January, let's just wait and put the finishing touches on the budget come January.
All right, one more spending item that doesn't have to do with the executive branch, but I think is probably interesting to people who work in the federal branch, considering the kind of oversight that they go through on some issues from the legislative branch, is this from your post today. There was immediate bipartisan agreement on this much. Congress could stand to allocate a little less for floor wax and light bulbs in order to do a better job informing its employees what their rights are, the many forms of inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace, and where to turn if they're harassed by colleagues or superiors, including their elected bosses. David, where did this come from?
Well, the cynics would say this came from the Vance McAllister case, but
the guy who kissed his the girl that works for him,
the woman who was his scheduler down in Louisiana, and who now is is paying for that by essentially being told there's no way he could win re-election and he's not running again. But it goes deeper than that. It goes beyond that. It's bipartisan in nature. There is a, I think there is genuinely a bipartisan concern in the House, especially in the House and in this case and also in the Senate, that while Congress has done a better job sort of modernizing its workplace in the last 10 or 15 years, especially since they started applying most workplace health, safety, and labor laws to themselves in the mid-1990s, that while they've made progress, they still haven't done enough on the sexual harassment front, and they could do more. They could do more to make it make training and education on this front more widely available. Now, that having been said, the advocates of this knew that if they tried to make it a mandate, like exists at, I think, all, if not all, mostly all federal agencies, that would have run into some political trouble. There are some Republicans, conservatives, deregulatory conservatives, who don't like the word mandate in any shape or form and certainly don't want to be mandated to take some sort of sensitivity training that they think they don't need. So they got more money for this, but not a mandate. It's a start.
David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call and host of the Hawkins Here blog. We'll link to your blog as we always do, and I love having you on the program, David.
Thank you so much, Francis.